Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross, and today I'm happy to welcome Frank Petrie, president of Battle Point Astronomical Association. Frank, welcome, and tell us a little bit about you and what your background is.
Well, good morning, Bob. I'm glad to be here. I'm a retired civil engineer. I've loved astronomy all my life since I was a kid. And in retirement, I've gotten involved in the Battle Point Astronomical Association here on Bainbridge Island. And having been involved in it at different levels, I finally ended up being president. So here I am carrying the flag for the organization.
Well, tell us a little bit about this, about the organization, the association, you know, a little background on it, how many members you have, and kind of what you're really doing at this point.
Okay. Well, BPAA is the largest publicly accessible telescope in the Pacific Northwest. So we have a 27.5-inch Newtonian reflector telescope on the roof of the Helix building in Battle Point Park. And from there, we do public star parties. We also have lectures. And we're hoping to start offering planetarium shows as well. And we've been in existence for almost 30 years. So we got our start in the mid-90s. And our membership now runs about 200. And anybody can join. It's not limited to people with an necessarily any astronomical expertise. It's a good place for kids and adults to learn about astronomy and learn how to run telescopes and just explore the universe.
Yeah. Is it a group like this, an association where you're looking at the universe, basically, is it seasonal at all? I mean, are there times of the year where you're having more activity than others? Are students involved quite a bit with special programs?
Well, absolutely. We're very seasonal. This time of year is a good time for us because the skies are clear.
Yeah.
But of course, in the summertime here in the Northwest, the nights are very short and it gets dark quite late in the evening. So we do have a lot of people come out to look, but it's limited to those who can stay up late. So a lot of kids, we don't get a lot of kids this time of year. But as we move into the fall and certainly in the springtime, when it gets dark a little bit earlier, then we do have that kind of activity. And in the wintertime, of course, it's cloudy and rainy a lot. So we do what we can with the skies. When the skies let us, when the skies clear up, we can do real astronomy. But when it's cloudy, we hope to be able to use our planetarium and offer some classes for kids and some demonstrations of how the sky works and talk about planets and things like that.
I've always had a kind of a distant interest in this, like I do with a lot of different things, and I've never really dug into it. But can you just generally explain how a telescope of this size works? It's my very basic understanding that it actually can track things or move to follow something.
Yes, yes. Well, our telescope is a reflecting telescope, so it has a big mirror in the back, and the light comes in, hits the mirror, and then is reflected to a secondary mirror and then out to the eyepiece. And we can look in the eyepiece and watch whatever object it is we're looking at. And the telescope itself is on a tracking mount. So it's computer controlled, and we can use the computer to find different objects. And then the telescope automatically tracks that object so that we can take a good long time at looking at it. We can also replace the eyepiece with a camera and take images. And that works even better because with a camera, you can take time exposure or you can take multiple images and stack them in software and get some really, really phenomenal images that show far more detail than you can see with your eyes.
Now, if I recall correctly, we've just moved through a period of big meteor showers, I believe. Is that what you call them?
Yes.
Was there a lot of activity associated with that?
Well, unfortunately, yes, we just passed through the Perseid meteor shower, which happens every year in this time in August, mid-August. But unfortunately, this year, it coincided with a full moon. So a lot of light in the sky from the full moon. So there weren't that many meteors visible, although some were seen. Let's try again next year and hope that there's no moon in the sky.
That's kind of funny thinking about hoping there's no moon when that's probably one thing people really like to look at sometimes. I don't know. That's a question for you. What is there a single most thing people are most interested in?
Well, the moon, interestingly enough, the full moon is not that interesting to look at. It's when the moon is in its partial phases, quarter moon, slender crescent moon, that you can see on the part of the moon where the light and where night turns to day or vice versa. You can see the craters and the mountains in sharp relief because of the long shadows.
Oh.
But when the moon is very full, you don't see those shadows, and that's less interesting. So we like to see it. The crescent moon in the evening, when the moon is new, just past new, and we get these slender crescents, that's really interesting to see. And from night to night, you can watch the sun move across the landscape and see more mountains come into view. So that's pretty cool. Another real popular object is, of course, Saturn, the rings of Saturn. And Saturn is rising now in the early evening, and it just passed opposition, which means it crosses the meridian, the highest point in the sky, about midnight. And so that's a real interesting object to look at. And Jupiter is right behind it. It rises about 10 o'clock, and in a month or so, it'll be approaching its own opposition. And so that's a very interesting object to look at as well. Later on in the year, we'll have Mars. So and all the kids are asking me about Mars. When are we going to see Mars?
The red planet.
That's right. That's right.
That is one I can usually pick out. You can't actually sense the redness. If you can't actually see it, I'm not sure myself.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, before we get to something I know that's very important to discuss, a big project you have coming, I do have one other question, and that is, how about access to the telescope? Can you kind of give us an overview about how people could have access, or there are certain times set up and so forth?
Yeah, we have our public program we have a scheduled public program on the second Saturday every month. So we just had it last week, and we've got another program coming up in September 10th. Because our activities are limited by weather, we don't have anything really scheduled, but we do have a members only mailing list. And when it looks like things are going to be open up so that we can have a star party, we'll send out a notice a day or a few days in advance to our members. And that's a good way to stay in touch and to know when things are going to be happening. This time of year, of course, we have the park district has their concerts in the park on Wednesdays. And that'll run through a couple more weeks through August. Yeah. And then they're doing the movies on Friday night. And so we've been open for those activities as well. So, for example, tonight, well, it's looking like it's going to be cloudy tonight, but we'll see. But next week, the movie will be open and have a star party on Friday next week. And on Wednesday, two more Wednesdays, I think we have open houses during the concert as well.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a nice way for people to get access. And let me just ask you one other question about that. How do people become members if they want to?
Anybody can become a member, and right now our membership fees are $20 for an individual membership for a year, so that's a pretty good deal, or $30 for a family, and that membership is good for a year, and that gets you access to the observatory. You can come to the events. We also have telescopes, loaner telescopes available for people to take home.
Oh, wow.
And play with them and figure out, okay, if I want to buy a telescope, what do I need to know about operating a telescope? And they can learn about telescopes before they spend all that money to buy one of their own. You can also get trained on operating the Ritchie telescope and learn how to do that. That's a little bit more involved, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty straightforward. And it's certainly fun to invite your friends over and have a star party of your own.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this very important project you have underway.
That's right. Well, I alluded earlier to the bad weather that we have here in the Pacific Northwest and how that sometimes prevents us from doing star parties and looking at things alive through a telescope. So we also have the planetarium, the John Rudolph Planetarium, named after one of our founders, John Rudolph. That we have a projector with a fisheye lens that shows the sky on the inside of a dome in the building. Many of you have been to planetariums, so you know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, our projector died about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And so we're raising funds now to buy a replacement projector. And we're looking at doing that right now. We have some money, a grant from the Bainbridge Community Foundation, and we're looking to get a grant from the Rotary Club to support our purchase. We also have a pledge from a member to match all donations from individuals that come in.
Wow.
So we're looking to raise $50,000 or $60,000 to pay for the projector, the software, and the dome, the new dome to go with it. The dome we have is cloth. It's not a great, it works okay, but it's not great. It's not as good as it could be. And so with a rigid, solid dome, the projected image will be much better, and it'll work a whole lot better. And with that, we'll be able to have classes for kids. We'll be able to have planetarium shows for adults and kids. It's just a great way to continue exploration in astronomy, even when the sky is cloudy.
Yeah. Now, when you had that set up, the planetarium set up, and I have been to some planetariums, and they're pretty impressive. For this one, will you be showing images that are available? Where do you get your images? I guess is what I'm getting to.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of places. So the software that comes with the projector is extremely capable, and it uses professional star catalogs like the Sloan Digital Sky Survey.
Oh, wow.
And so it has the positions of many, many stars and many, many galaxies, in fact, as well. And you can use, with the projector, you can leave the surface of the Earth and fly to other planets and look around the solar system from the vantage point of another planet. Or you can leave the solar system and explore our galaxy. And you can leave our galaxy and fly out into the universe and look back on our galaxy and look around at other galaxies. And this is all made possible by the incredible computing power in the computer that's in the projector,
and the
access to these different sky surveys that provide the three-dimensional positions of all these objects, galaxies, and stars.
So, if people want to support the project, what's the best way or ways to do that?
We can take donations on our website. We have a donate button on our website that takes you to the One Call for All portal. And you can make a donation through that. You can also send a check to Battle Point Astronomical Association at our P.O. Box, P.O. Box 10914, Bainbridge Island. And just write on your check that it's for the Planetarium Project. And another way to do it is to come to one of our events, and we can take cash donations or checks or even credit cards when you visit us in person.
Okay, that sounds great. And once again, how did they get to your website?
Our website is bpastro.org. Very simple, mm-hmm. bpastro.org.
Yeah, okay. Very good. And what a wonderful project to support. I mean, I can see with a planetarium like that, even during the cooler months when, you know, you can't see much with the telescope or anything possibly, this could really be a great way to explore the universe.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And you asked a question a little bit earlier, and I didn't give you a complete answer because I was talking about how the planetarium uses the professional sky surveys for all the stars. We will also have the capability of taking images taken with our own telescope and projecting those on the dome as well.
Oh, wow.
So that's another thing that we're real excited about being able to do.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Well, Frank Petrie, President of Battle Point Astronomical Association, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been my pleasure.
Mine as well, and I've learned so much. And thank you for listening to this edition of What's Up, Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.